Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, first in the Northern California Bay Area, world famous juggler Greg Larson. How are you doing this week, Greg?
Man, doing pretty good. Got to watch a brilliant movie with one Jimothy Carey. So, yeah, how are you doing, Ozzy?
You know, it's no secret that we used to be roommates. And during that time, I don't try to hide anything that would give anybody any ideas as to how to get on my nerves. But it doesn't mean people don't pick things up. And Greg is one of those people. And before we started recording this, I said, okay, now I'm in a bad mood. And that is why you heard Greg use the word brilliant in his description of this film. Am I far off or...
Oh, no, you're pretty spot on. I actually said Jimothy because I don't want to associate Jim Carrey with this movie.
There you go. Thank you very much. Also with us, Flesh Wound producer Todd.
Classic.
How you doing?
I'm chilling. Am I the only one with positive notes?
probably. There's a good chance. So this film, this week, once bitten. The positive about this film was James Carey's first theatrically released film, being released on November 15th, 1985, rated PG-13 with a runtime of 94 minutes. And I think that's where I have the biggest gripe. But before we get into that, how about playing the trailer? Todd, if you would please do the honors.
Yes, sir. I will play the trailer right now.
Mark Kendall's a regular guy.
Get me out of here!
With normal problems.
I want to, but I want it to be special.
But Mark's just discovered...
Hello, tall, dark, and handsome.
...that his one-night stand...
I haven't had anything this pure since the Vienna Boys Choir hit town.
...has been around for centuries.
I'm 390 years old.
400 if you're a day.
Mark Kendall is necking...
Finally happened.
...with a vampire.
Did I enjoy it?
Now, he's losing his girl.
Bit my lip.
His customers...
Let's get out of here!
His image...
Look, I'm not there!
...and his mind.
Oh, wow, I love your outfits.
I'm not wearing a costume.
Mark's got to choose.
It's like you're not the Mark I thought I knew. You look like Jerry Lewis.
Between his first love...
I'm the owner of the pants you've been trying to get into for the last 4 years.
...and his last date.
How would you like to spend eternity with me?
I can't. I gotta go to college.
Before his future goes up in smoke...
How'd you like your crotch set on fire?
Ooh, rough trade.
Nothing is sacred...
No!
...in a tasty comedy.
Can I have one of those uncooked ones?
You can sink your teeth into.
How was it?
Delicious.
Once bitten. Once
bitten. I don't want to be a vampire. I'm a day person. Before Ozzy starts yelling, I just got to share this. When we play the trailers, I can see everyone's reactions in the bottom corner, and Ozzy's just sitting there. And I normally see Ozzy busting up, and he's just sitting there like... This is done yet.
Shaking my head. If you needed to, so if let's say aliens came down from another planet and said, hey, we need to know what movies were like in the 80s, this would be one of the ones I'd show them. Now, I was okay with this film. I really was. Until it got to the high school dance, the pre-Halloween hop, if you will. And I was actually busting up. I mean, it's mentioned in the trailer where the gag is everybody keeps complimenting him on his costume. Hey, great. You look like a vampire. I'm not in a costume. I was cracking up at the times that it happened. However, there was then a song that played and all of a sudden it turned into a musical act. And then that's where I was like, all right, get me the f- off this bus. I'm pulling the emergency exit right f- now. If I had the option to say, you know what? If I get one f-ing film here to say, no, I am not doing this. I am not rescuing your bar. This would be the f-ing movie I would do it in. Because at least fucking, at least with f-ing private school, stupid shit happened like in the last like 10 minutes. You're like, fine, I've already been here this f-ing long. What's another 5 minutes? Whatever. But that goddamn, like, this was going on for 15 minutes. I said it was a 94-minute movie. It could have been 80 movies, perfectly 80 minutes, and it would have been perfectly fine. My God. So it's funny we talk about, like, our favorite points of the movie, but I just couldn't, like, the only thing I kept thinking in my head was, like, this is the least favorite moment in any comedy that I've seen, because when it was over, I still had another half an hour to go. Or at least with private school, the stupid stuff happened. They're like, oh, the credits are just right around the corner. At least I'm done. So, God.
So wait,
it.
Did we just get like private school?
I apologize
schools?
For all the cursing. Todd, you're going to have your work I cut know, out for
I'm
this a, week.
I'm going to have to fucking cut myself out right there. Now you threw me off.
Is private school now like off the list of...
So this is the worst one we've watched, in your opinion, now.
See, it's really tough. I mean, if it had dumb nudity, it would have been like right up there. Like, but like this is, you have number one, and then you have number two. Because at least with private school, I was like, how is this going to end? Like, is she really this stupid? Oh my God, she is this stupid. But with this, it was just like, I don't care. Make her a vampire. Why would the two fucking guys are both virgins? Why can't you take him? This movie would have fucking solved if you just took the two fucking losers' blood is for because they're both virgins. What the fuck?
It's funny.
My God. Oh my God. This has more holes than Swiss cheese.
This also has the whole, it's her fault he cheated, which is like another thing.
It's well, let's not forget the infamous shower scene.
Oh my God.
Like, that would never
what the
fly
hell?
These days.
What the hell? Like, and plus, when she's going up to me, like, if you were really his friends, you would just look at his crotch. Like, what the fuck is going on? They already had multiple homophobic jokes in this movie. And then you have her, the girlfriend, saying, if you were really his friends, you would have no problem. Like, what fuck? What? This doesn't make any sense.
I better be careful. I do not want to get Tommy Dreamer.
Now, I will say that. Now, I will say I feel bad for Clevon Little because he was Black Bart, you know, Blazing Saddles, like one of the greatest comedies of all time. And then this happened. I will say maybe the only reason for this film existence is quite possibly a very competitive player of the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. And I'll say this because I can imagine a scenario, let's say some alien planet, whatever, you know, you have like a master 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon player, whatever. And they just needed some sort of link between Jim Carrey and Mel Brooks. And then they went back in time and had this movie made to have an easy link with Mel Brooks and Jim Carrey. I can't think of any other reason.
There is one.
And then you know what pisses me off even more? Is at the beginning and in the trailer, a Samuel Goldwyn film. Kiss my ass. Are you kidding? You willingly put your name on this? I didn't think a movie would piss me off like Private School did, honestly. But then, like, when that musical dance happened and then God. Okay. All right. I've gone on, I don't know how long on since we came back from the trailer, but you just heard my initial thoughts, Greg.
I mean, it wasn't good, but I was entertained.
Usually the tone when somebody starts with "it wasn't" is usually followed by "bad," but you're just flat out, well, it wasn't good.
Right. You know, like, I wasn't like, man, this is some great cinema, but I wasn't bored. Like, it was slow in the beginning, but I was entertained, had a few good chuckles. I think most of my laughs were not what the writers intended me to laugh at, but I still had fun.
Speaking of which, I failed to cover that. I apologize. This film written by Dimitri Villard, David Hines, and Jeffrey House, directed by Howard Storm. Also, in addition to Jim Carrey, also starring Lauren Hutton and Karen Kopkins, in addition with Clevon Little. I apologize. You may continue.
Oh, I'm good, Todd.
Was that the end of your thought? Okay.
That's it.
Todd?
Well,
I didn't mean do ellipsis where you put your period.
Okay. Well, we all know I like bad movies, and this is one of them. It's nostalgic. I was 10 years old the first time I saw it. It's 100% bad. And the reason I still like it is because I like that cocaine-fueled era of 1980s when shit didn't make a lick of sense, and we got batshit insane stuff like this. And I still have fun with it. It's not great. Like I said, it's a bad movie. But
No, it's not good.
Okay, it's not good.
It's fun.
There we go. So, this is not a movie when I finished, I'm like, I don't ever need to watch that again, which happens a lot more now.
Yeah. Okay, so I will say a part that did make me laugh was at the very beginning. It's probably where I laughed the hardest that had something to do with the movie. Because I laughed at the line of Jim Carrey saying, I thought I looked more like De Niro, when he actually he makes himself look like De Niro, which was hilarious. But I guess a non-Jim Carrey line would have to be at the very beginning of the movie, where I thought, oh, this might actually be fun, where she tastes the blood and she's like, oh, or you think it's a Bloody Mary, but she says, Australian peasant. Oh, positive. It's kind of funny. Okay, I can see where we're going. And then just like, wait, what? Like, it kept jumping back and forth between, like, a complete parody and still trying to be a movie. You know, like, it couldn't fully commit to either one. And I think that's where it just made me, like, so frustrated, because it's like, shit or get off the pot, you know?
Yeah, no,
make
for
a decision.
Sure. You know, I hate to bring it back up, but one of my favorite moments was the dance scene.
You shit! We should just call that the Young Bucks scene.
No. The reason why,
it's the same thing.
And hear me out. And again, this is that moment I was telling you about where I don't think the writers intended me to laugh at what I laughed at. Because, and I don't care, I'm going to spoil this movie. If you've not seen it, good for you. But, you
that's
know.
That's an achievement. Keep it that way.
So there's this dance-off between the girlfriend and the vampire lady. And the girlfriend wins the so-called dance battle. And I just love that in the movie, the vampire was just like, well, she licked me at dance, so I'm not going to worry about all my powers that I have as a vampire. I'll just walk away.
And her army of vampires.
Right? I just thought that was so dumb that it made me laugh so hard.
There you go. I mean, Greg, you appreciated that. For me, it was just, it was too dumb. The boat sank for me, and that was it. Todd? Wait, no. I think, was that supposed to be the funniest or favorite moment segment? Okay, yeah, so I said my one De Niro line and the line at the beginning. Greg, you had your dance scene, but not for the right reasons.
Right.
Todd?
All right. And I'm actually surprised.
Is it the scene with the nude painting?
No. I'm actually surprised because it's a sight gag. I thought one of you might grab it. It's the when she tells him, when they're at the drive-in, and she tells him, I want it to be special. And he looks up the car, and they're just going balls deep over
here. Yeah.
And everyone's, I was dying.
I appreciated the gag, but when they went back to it, it was like, yeah, no, you said it already. Like, and it's almost like somebody telling you a joke like, hey, remember 5 seconds ago when you laughed at that one thing I said? Yeah, you even used the same exact clip in the car. Like, at least show other cars. Why are you gonna close up on the same? No. Okay, so when he turns, I know exactly what you're talking about, because he turns to look outside the window after she says, I want it to be special, and there's, you know, there's action going on in a convertible, right? Then he steps outside, you know, taking a breath, whatever, and all the cars around him are doing it, but they do another close-up on the same car that they already did a close-up on. Small details, man. It bothered me.
I get
because what it told me is that Howard Storm, now realize, is that a name you know? Do you know that name? Do you know Howard Storm before I said it?
He
directed, yes or no?
He directed a bunch of TV. I know that. He was a TV
director. That sounds like a defensive answer. Greg, did you know the name Howard Storm before I brought it up?
Sounds like a professional wrestler.
Okay, there's a reason. You can't just say, yeah, I know him. He directed this that I saw, or he directed that I saw, because he didn't direct anything after this because it fucking sucked.
I
censored myself that time, so you didn't have to do the work, Todd.
But that's not true, because he directed so much TV, from Taxi to Everybody Loves Raymond. He's a TV director who got a feature, and the feature didn't work.
Okay, then maybe it's the studio I should blame. Maybe it's Samuel Goldwyn I need to blame. Samuel Goldwyn wanted to make this classy, and Howard Storm wanted to make this a pure parody. And that's where the DC Zack Snyder, you know, maybe we need a Howard Storm cut of Once Bitten.
I don't think so. I don't think we need even.
Okay, I'll be honest. 10 more minutes that dance scene, if it was 5 seconds, I would have no problem with it. If it was like as quick as could be, like look at Encino Man. Think about this. Hold on a second. Let me bring this up. Remember Encino Man? There's a big coordinated dancing that happens at the end, right? So if they wanted to do a dance scene, they could have done it at the end. It would have been totally fine. But the fact that they did it like in the middle of the third act is like, why? Or wait, no, at the beginning of the third act. It just made me mad. Either way.
No, Ozzy, you have to remember, it's the 80s. They had to have a moment in which clothes were taken off and a girl revealed some more of herself. So I think that was neat.
I liked the movie Disorderlies because they had two guys sitting on a wall and then the camera just panned to two women who were skinny dipping. Make it easy. Don't make it complicated if that's what you want. Todd will back me up on this. Thank you very much. Like, now it's time for the stupid ratings. I don't even want... This is getting an NR from me. Yeah. This is getting an NR. It's that last 30 minutes. It's just really like, what did I do? It's like playing a game of solitaire, right? And you have that, like, let's say 9 of diamonds, and you have 8 of spades, 8 of clubs, right? And they still got the cards behind them still, and you're like, oh, I don't know what to choose. And you pick one, and then it reveals a king. And as you know, in solitaire, regular Klondike solitaire, you only take a king to a blank spot. You don't have any blank spots. And you're like, damn it, I should have taken that other one. That exact moment, those neurons that fire off in my brain when that happens, when I play a regular game of solitaire, were the same exact neurons that fire off when I'm done with that stupid musical scene. It's like, well, I got 30 minutes more, except at least with solitaire, I could just pack it up, start a new game. It's not like with this stupid movie, I could just start over and hope for a different end 30 minutes. Did I even? Yeah, it's an NR from me. Don't watch it.
All right. You want me to want Ozzy to keep going? I'll go next. Just because I give this a 2.5. It's in the middle, but I have fun with it, and that's my nostalgia. But I'd rather watch this again than Dracula Dead and loving it.
You
wow,
son of yeah, that is such a bullshit statement. That
no, Ozzy's gonna go De Niro.
You are such a liar. Oh God! And you know what makes me even more upsetting is we just saw this, and we saw Dracula Dead and Loving It a year ago, and now you're gonna give me this. You're gonna say that this is better than the performances.
I didn't say it was better.
Oh, but you'd rather see it.
Watch it. Yes.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Slater's 50-50, right?
Oh yeah,
it's delicious. Right?
Yeah.
There's McDonald's down the street here. Next time you're here, I know Slater's is really good, but let's go to McDonald's instead.
No,
that's what you're saying, Todd. I'd rather see Once Bitten again than watch Dracula Dead and Loving It,
which I think is a weaker entry from his. I have zero nostalgia.
Yeah, a weaker entry from his, but this isn't even a valid entry from anybody.
Hey, this is Howard Storm's best film.
You're not wrong.
All right.
You know,
nope. He's going to have a bald spot by the end of the show.
Oh, we got to keep talking then. This is going to be great. I actually have to agree with you. I'd go with a 2.5. Like, I wasn't angry at the film. I didn't feel like I wasted my time. I wasn't offended, although that one shower scene, I was like, that's not cool these days. But
right,
yeah.
Exactly. Not, I mean, now, if you're saying this, if you've never seen this movie, you're like, oh, so there was a shower scene. Like, what's the deal? Okay, so it's multi-part. Do you mind if I jump in real quick?
No, go for it.
Okay, so there's a point in the movie when the girl, as I mentioned earlier, the girlfriend needs Jim Carrey's friends, Mark's friends, to see if he has two sores on his inner thigh. And they're trying to check out his inner thigh while in the shower. Now, the way the scene is made is that it has like a little center part so you can't see any genitalia or any asses or anything like that. But it just gets to a point when after several minutes of just, it's not even funny. It's just two guys being fucking morons. And oh my God, I know what they were trying to do. It just, anyway,
that's
it
like
just
my
gets to a point. It just gets to a point when one of his friends says, okay, I got him. Now look. And he's grabbing him so he can't move by the arms. He's grabbing Jim Carrey and everybody's naked.
Yeah, holding him. Let's not say he's grabbing him. Yeah.
Oh, holding him. Right. So he can't move. Exactly.
Bear hug.
And then you have his other friend who had soap in his eye, apparently, now could not see if the thigh had the sore. So he had to get down on his knees to check. And then you have everybody else in the shower, all teenage boys saying this. And they yell something alert. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's just
There's a bunch of Brits yelling about cigarettes. That's all we got to say.
That is a very fair statement. Now, cigarettes, I don't recall if this happened before or after the musical scene.
Before.
Okay. I think that musical scene was just really like,
no.
It happened after
because after the whole dance, they looked in the mirror because
I was already upset.
And that's when the vampire thing came up.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're right. Did Ozzy freeze?
I
think he's shutting down.
Just remembering more and more things is also, you recall there's a scene when he wakes up at, 8:15 and his mom's like, oh, he lives. And she's making burgers, right? You saw that, right? Where she drains the blood, right? Yeah, puts it in a cup for what reason? She just leaves it on the counter. Okay, there's going to be a gag coming up where he drinks it. Ha ha, very smart. But she has the meat in her hands and she's pounding the meat and puts it on the fryer, right?
And
then she's just, what, say it again?
Pounding the meat.
I said, I bet she is.
No, just stay with me. She's continuing to cook. She's touching the utensils. She's grabbing the towel. And then he turns around. He has a plate of cookies. He's drinking orange juice. And she says, you never eat good. Grabs the cookie and then eats it and then licks her fingers. I'm like, she just handled raw meat. She's going to get sick. And then she's still wiping her hands on the towel. And then the dad comes home from a jog, which, why does he need to go for a jog? Why couldn't he just get up from his regular day? Why are you adding more stuff to this? I don't even remember what the dad's name was. Good God. Anyhow, this mom got everybody in her house sick with salmonella.
Well, that would have been
the
chicken,
80s were a different time. Sorry, Ozzy.
Ozzy, you'd like this better if you were on cocaine. I'm lying. That would be scary.
I don't know. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. That's never going to happen.
This is Ozzy normal.
So I'm going to agree to give my official score is a 2.5. I thought the ending had a quick climax, and so it was great.
And R.
I'm bumping it up a rating just for that joke.
Yes.
NR.
So that averages out to a 2.5. All
right. Here's the frustrating thing is that instead of the chick saying, okay, if I fuck him, if I do that, he will no longer be of value to this lady. But instead, I'm going to ask his friends to double check that he really did, because I really don't want to. Like, I'll only do it if I have to. I mean, like, and then she could even check, like, hey, could I check this real quick? And she could even say, hey, so listen, you're a vampire. You're turning into one, but we'll take care of this right now. And it seems like that was the logical conclusion when she left the bookstore or library or whatever thing that was that had several books in it. I mean, it looked like a whole, it looked like a mom and pop bookstore, handwritten, or maybe it might've been a set produced by some high school kids because they had handwritten signs for what the books were. So, yeah. You know,
Golden's kids.
I wouldn't be surprised. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, that was Once Bitten. Next week, we'll be back with a new episode and I'll be in a better mood. I mean, well, I know I'm putting a lot of faith and I'm putting a lot of stock into that. Right. Where'd we go? Oh, my gosh. We disappeared for a second. I thought a picture of me with ribs was about to come up. I was about to lose it. Now, next week, we'll be back with a new episode. We'll be reviewing Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Now, I've never seen this movie, but I'm having faith that I'm not going to be upset as I am right now. It does have Alan Tudyk, which I do enjoy from Doom Patrol. Yeah. So, and several other things he's been in, but most recently. So I don't think it can be as bad as was. No. I'm not even telling you where you can find it.
You can't, you can't get, watch it for free. I think you got to buy it on digital.
You don't do that. My recommendation. Sorry, Todd. Do you have something to say?
Do it just to spite Ozzy and tell him how much. You know, I'm telling you, I'm predicting now this will be a nice numbers episode. This will be popular, like private school.
You know, and if somebody calls me a jerk for hating on this movie, like somebody called me a jerk for hating on private school, whatever.
Our Patreon can do whatever they want.
That's right.
Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, next week we'll be back with Tucker and Dale versus Evil. That is world famous juggler Greg Larson, and that is Flesh Wound producer Todd. I'm Ozzy V. We'll see you next week, right here on Flesh Wound Farce.